You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Hey, are you a business owner, entrepreneur, or professional? If so, we want you to apply to be a featured guest on our show. My name is Adam Torres, and I host the Mission Matters series of podcasts. I've recorded over 3,000 episodes, and we are just getting started. How do you know if you'd be a good guest to be on the show? Well, only one way to find out, and that's to apply, but I'm going to let you in on a little secret. We want guests that have a story to tell, guests with a brand, a product, or a service that can benefit my audience of listeners. If this sounds like you, go to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to Apply. I'd love to talk to you and get to know more about your story. Again, head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to Apply. All right, now let's get into the show.
Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters, your source for all things business. My name is Adam Torres, and you can follow me on Instagram at AskAdamTorres. And if you'd like to be a guest on the show, just head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to Apply. All right, so today I have Jesse Williams on the line, and she is managing partner over at JM Williams. Jesse, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right, Jesse. So I'm excited to get into today's topic. We will talk about your background a little bit. We will obviously get into JM Williams and all the great work that you're doing for small business owners and entrepreneurs out there. And maybe just to get us kicked off, let's start off with your background. So how'd you get started really in business and on this path?
You know, I always say this, I do feel that I just fell into this. You know, I knew from a kid, I always wanted to do business, just never knew exactly what I wanted to do. And I just loved the whole business courses that we all took in, you know, if we went to business school or any took any business course, I loved each one of them except for economics. You know, so I just kind of love business management. You know, I took an entrepreneur business course as an elective and I was blown away. I loved it. So I always knew I wanted to do business, but never knew exactly what it is per se and what specifically. And you know, as I struggled to pick a major, you know, I had one of my uncles reach out to me and say, hey, pick something that always will be around. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I said, well, what do you think, what do you have in mind? And obviously they named the old basic ones like lawyers, doctors, you're always going to need those. But I was like, you know, that's not what I wanted to do. Maybe a lawyer, you know, because you get to talk and argue, debate. That's where you think as a kid. Yeah. So yeah. I decided to pick accounting because I was good in math. And that was the biggest misconception ever. You don't have to be excellent in math to be an accountant. But I do like the fact that your numbers is the language of your business. Mm-hmm. And it really tells a story of how you're doing financially in your business. And the numbers really don't lie. It's a famous quote everyone uses. And it's something that I enjoyed during class. And as I went through public accounting, I always loved what I did. And, you know, not so much the environment. So then I said, you know, I'd rather do this on my own because I do get people ask me when I worked for public accounting, hey, do you know how to do this? Do you know how to do that? And I was just giving advice for free. And I was like, look, I think I'm going to do this full time and work for myself. And that's how it really started.
Wow. What an amazing story. And, you know, there's some would-be entrepreneurs out there, people that are a little bit, you know, maybe they're just getting out of college or maybe they're a couple years out and they're thinking about maybe going that entrepreneurial route and thinking about it. I mean, what kind of advice would you give to people that are out there really just getting started?
You know, if you're just getting started, I say the best thing to do is invest in the business, right, itself, because there's always a thing you go into business for, like a product or a service, and then there is a running of the business. And I think people need to really invest in that part of it, whether it's a coach or you take like a course online. You know, I always think the coach is the best way. And as you become an entrepreneur, you grow and you grow as a person and you're always seeking to improve yourself. And the best way to do that is getting a coach. I have a sales coach. I have a fitness, physical fitness. We all have a gym, a trainer, right? Yeah. Then we have a health coach, because then there's the mental part of things that keep you balanced. So I have a coach for pretty much every aspect in my life that I'm not an expert in, or, you know, even trainers have fitness trainers. They have coaches too. So I do think investing in yourself and getting a coach is one of the best ways to start your business. There's always going to be that part that you're not aware of, and just be hungry for knowledge. And the money is always a problem when you're starting, right? Mm-hmm. So I always say that read a book, take the time, because a lot of the times what someone can teach you, it's already out there. Mm-hmm. And you just got to look for it. But sometimes you get a coach that packages things nicely. You want just that feedback, just that person that want to say, yes, you're doing it right, you're doing it wrong, and this is why. Then yes, if you have the funds, definitely invest in it. And that's what I would say. Just know the business side of things is one of the biggest mistakes that people make. Like knowing just for simple what business structure I want to be in, or what does that really mean, is something that, you know, a lot of entrepreneurs really don't get too right most of the times.
So Jesse, I understand you work with business owners and entrepreneurs, among other people, and one of your big niches, real estate, as you mentioned. So why did you decide to go the entrepreneurial route and kind of leave public accounting?
One word, freedom. It's a little bit more freedom. Clearly, I stay within the industry. I love what I do. I didn't like the atmosphere so much. And I think the biggest mistake that my bosses allowed me to do was to be more that point of contact with the client. So the higher you move up, the more you get to talk to the client. So the more I realized that our clients are just regular people. We used to be so scared, like, oh, the client this and the client that. And they're just basic people. So when I got on the phone with them, I thoroughly enjoyed talking to the clients. And, you know, what's weird that they used to always give us this idea that everyone hated talking to their clients. Like there's a stereotype. CPAs don't like talking to their clients, you know? So I love that part of it. And I think that, you know, with the stereotypes in public accounting, it was all there. Long hours, work-life balance was non-existent. You know, even having a diet, working out during tax time, all that came to a halt. And I didn't want that to be my life. And I saw the people that I work with, they were in the healthiest conditions. And I'm talking about the people jobs that I wanted, you know, they were always there. I don't know when they saw their wife and kids, you know, and sometimes people are just not pleasant during tax time. And it was, and that was the norm. It was okay for them to not be pleasant. You know, there's this saying that says, sorry for what I said during tax time. And I think that is so ridiculous. You know, people, they allow the emotions to fly over the place. And it wasn't a great atmosphere for me personally. I wanted to spend more time with my clients and really have a one-on-one connection. And, you know, I just didn't want to have to deal with the corporate America part of things. You know what I mean? I wanted to do what I had to do, serve as a client, add value, and go home. That's what I wanted to do. And you can't do that. There's FaceTime. You have to be there physically. On Saturdays, you had to come in. If you didn't come in with everyone else, it was frowned upon, that type of thing. So it wasn't what everyone made it out to be. When the companies recruit you, they always say, yes, FaceTime, we support women in business, diversity, yada, yada, yada. It's all just a show. And it was never reflected in the companies that I worked in. They tried their best. I must say they did. But let's face it, when it's tax time, you got to be on your deathbed if you're not coming in. And I didn't like that. And I like the fact that I could work remotely, and they never really cared for us to work remotely. They promoted it, but working remotely was always frowned upon, or you're lying if you're sick or something like that. It was always working on eggshells. And I've always had my own book of business on the side, because I always wanted a plan B. I always had a second job ever since I knew myself, because I never wanted one person to determine my finances. And I think that's where it came from for me. So I think when I got my first business client and realized what I could charge this person and what I was charging this person, if I could get literally three more of him at the time,
Yeah.
I will need my job.
Yeah.
And then I think someone said something to me, nothing mean anything like that. It just triggered something in me. And I just literally packed up and said, today's my last day.
Wow. And
I literally went across the street, rented a WeWork office. And that's how I started, you know, and I was newlywed. I literally forgot I had a husband I had to, you know, make this decision with. So that kind of slipped my mind, but it worked out. I mean, 4 or 5 years in now, and it's the best decision I ever made. We're in COVID and we're having the best year ever.
Wow.
I moved from my office. I'm home and we didn't skip a beat. You know, we were always designed to service people remotely. Mm-hmm. I had an office mainly just to network and get to know other business owners, which paid off tremendously well. I still keep in touch with them. That's why I left and how I left in a nutshell.
What an amazing story. You said I forgot I was newly married, so I should have run that decision by I was already in the WeWork across the street. That's a great story. What kind of, you said the word freedom, and I guess one thing I throw out there is, you know, there's some people watching this right now that are thinking about entering the accounting profession. You know, they're younger, maybe just out of college, or maybe they're still in college. What kind of advice would you give them on like different tracks or different like options that are available? Because you have a different vantage point. You obviously chose your track, but there's different ones, right?
Well, here's a traditional track, right? You go to public accounting and you want to go to the best top four Big Four accounting, and that's your Deloitte, your PwC, Ernst & Young, and you know, in no particular order, they're all great companies to work for, because you go anywhere else and that's on your resume, people will want you. And that's what happened for me. So I would say, you know, it's very hard to give someone advice. And a lot of people always say, yeah, go do that first. And then some people say, well, I don't want to work in that environment. You know, it's an experience. You learn a lot about yourself. I will do it again if I had to, knowing everything that I know right now, because it made me who I am. It made me stronger, you know. And obviously, if someone put an offer on the table for me to go back to public accounting, it was good. I would consider it. I really would. It would never be a no, never, ever going back. You know, it was a great experience. I say it is good to get that experience. Mm-hmm. I would advise anyone to go to public accounting. I would advise them. It's a great experience. You know, the smaller companies are bigger, are better too, you know, are good too, I would say, rather, like your Grant Thornton, your Mitchell and Titus is one of my favorites that I went to. Baker Tilly, they're here in New York City, and they're awesome place to work for. I love them to death. I work for them. And any firm that really would give you the tools, you know, you have to have a goal. What is your goal? And you can still figure it out. You know, I didn't know what I wanted to do at 21. I was in grad school and I still didn't know what I wanted to do. And you figure it out along the way. You have time. You have your entire 20s to figure it out and mess it up. Just get that experience. Just focus on the knowledge. Be a sponge. Soak up everything you get. Even if you're working for an accounting professor, just soak up anything you can get. I do have a grad intern. She works for me. She would love to work for me when she graduates. Mm-hmm. If I could afford her, yes, I would. But I personally would want her to get that experience and see what it's like and then make a decision, because she knows what it's like working for an entrepreneur accounting firm. She doesn't know what it's like to work in a Big Four. Maybe she might like it. There's certain personalities that does succeed in that environment, and she very well could be that. And, you know, but, you know, if it depends on what your goals are, really. You know, I wanted to be a partner at PwC, and look how well that turned out. So
well said, as we enter that entrepreneurial route. I love it.
Yeah.
And one thing that other people that have been on the show have said is that, you know, if at the end of the day, you know, that the business side of running the business is not for you, and you're more of the dreamer, more of the, you know, go out there and create the product, and you're all over the place, like maybe partner with somebody, but somebody has to do it. Like somebody has to do the numbers. Somebody has to get it done.
Yeah. And that's why people hire CEOs and CFOs, and they just focus on the actual service or product.
And I think that's a great transition to get into J.M. Williams and what you're doing for your clients. Because I know one of the things that you do work on is outsourced CFO services. So maybe tell us a little bit more about that.
So the outsourced CFO services is really derived from bookkeeping. Mm. And obviously, when I started, I said, you know what, I'm going to do bookkeeping and taxes. Very basic. And then I've noticed that clients always want more. You know, because if you break down the basic what bookkeeping is, someone is booking your numbers. There's a transaction, and we really, how should we put it? We put it in the language of accounting. So if you pay for a cab, that there's a debit and credit as an accounting language to that transaction. Mm-hmm. And that is essentially what a bookkeeper is doing. And they're taking each transaction, they're categorizing it, and then it goes into and builds up to an income statement, financial statements, and so on and so forth. So with that said, they always had questions outside of the bookkeeping. And then you look at the cost, like my time that I'm spending versus what you've paid for didn't match up. And I would say to others that, look, you need a partner. You need someone that partners with you in the business, take care of everything financial, and you just focus on why you went into business. So that is where that CFO service really came from, really doing everything from top to bottom. I'm the accounting firm for your small business until you are ready to build that out, you know, and then I take on a more higher level role. But, you know, my CFO services is just really being there for that client financially and whatever they really need. And if they don't even know, I tell them what is it that I could do for them is really what we do. And it takes different forms and shapes. You know, someone who's already in business, then yes, they want someone talking to the banks, negotiating deals, making sure that this vendor is the right one to go to. And, you know, if you're just starting, well, hey, how should I track this? You know, should I use QuickBooks desktop or QuickBooks online? What bank is best? Like these little basic questions that, so it depends on what level it is. And you maybe you may not need a CFO. You might need a, I don't know, a controller. So it kind of varies on the needs, but it's essentially just being that resources for that resource rather for the client.
So let's go a little bit further into your practice. So are there any particular types of niches or specialties that you work on versus others? Or, I mean, give us a feel for the overall expertise.
So for our business, we have two main lines. And it is, like we just discussed, the CFO services. We have the tax planning services, which is really looking, and the best way to describe this to someone is thinking of financial planning. We all pretty much have an idea what that means. Financial planning, we're looking at our financials, we're doing an analysis and how we could lessen on in expenses, save more, you know, put away some debt, yada, yada. The same thing with taxes. We're looking at everything holistically, from your business down to your personal and even retirement, investing, coverage, all of that, to see, hey, if I do 1, 2, 3, 4 strategies, if I implement these 3 things, 2 things, 6 things, would that put me in a better tax position? Would I be able to pay less taxes legally, of course, based on these things that I implemented? And what would I do with these savings? So if I were to do a tax planning strategy, I will show you what your tax bill would be next year if you did nothing. And if you did these 3 things that I'm going to suggest, this is how much you will save. Mm-hmm. And what would you do with that cash that you would save? You probably reinvest into the business. You probably might be happier. You're less stressed. You may actually get a refund for the first time. So that is essentially what we would do. And apart from that, we do the tax plan, the tax returns as well. We also do work with CFOs and bookkeepers. So you never really got to fire your accountant if you love them. We just come in and take a look and we're out. If most of the times people love me, so they never really want me to leave. So, and then with that, now we have the coaching side of things where, we do have these new entrepreneurs who need that help now, yesterday. Mm-hmm. So they might either choose to do a one-on-one with me, not to do it ongoing, because let's face it, we have all these softwares that could do bookkeeping for yourself, basically. I mean, I have a need for a CFO. You're just getting started, but you still lack some of the resources and knowledge that you would need to really succeed. So they will do maybe a course, a one-on-one with me. I call my VIP days. And we really just sit in and dive in on you personally. Everything that I give you is tailored for you. So it's not like you're sitting in a classroom with anyone or anything like that. And that's what really the coaching aspect of, or maybe advisory is, of my business that we do here. You mentioned niches, so make sure I mentioned that. My background is in real estate, not real estate per se, but private equity funds and hedge funds. And there always used to be some real estate somewhere there. So when I had to pick a niche, because of my business course that I had to, I picked real estate. And I picked real estate because the structure of things when you're investing in real estate is very similar. And the tax planning for me comes very easy for that, specifically in property management and developers. That is my sweet spot. That's my niche. I actually love them. I studied them. I've worked with them since I've been in business on my own. I have friends who are property management and developers, so I know where their headaches are. I know where their pet peeves are. And I typically know what type of person they are. I know the industry well. I know how they work. It's very paper driven. And, you know, most of the stuff isn't automated. You know, it's very old school. So I come in and I kind of shape things up and get stuff moving.
So, Jesse, what makes your practice unique?
I make my practice unique. Actually, it's me. I always tell people that what I do is not rocket science. It's nothing special. I am not saving lives. I'm giving you value. I'm giving you transformation. And you're getting me, my bubbly attitude, my personality, my, you know, errors where I made mistakes. And the thing is, that's very unique, is that I'm an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. You have a small business. I have a small business. We all are pretty much in it together. And the part where you need help with, I'll figure that out. You know what I mean? I'm an expert in that part. So therefore, there's no really mistakes there that I've made, or, you know, I'm just improving in processes per se. So you have someone who understands what it's like to be an entrepreneur, who understands that, hey, I want to hire three people and the cash isn't there, but if I hire them, it frees up my time to get more cash in the door.
Yeah.
But some person would say, I wouldn't do that if I was you, wait for a cushion. But I say, you know what, go for it. You know, you bet on yourself, because I understand what that feels like. So they get that partner who really understands what it's like to be an entrepreneur and take risks and bet on yourself, and know that, you know, if you make a mistake, hey, that's part of it too. So I'm not coming from a company where, and you know, most CPAs and financial people are more conservative. Yeah. And being an entrepreneur, sometimes you got to take some risks. And I totally understand that. And I think that's what makes me unique. In that sense, you know, you totally get me, and I bring my full self. I show up in my authentic self.
Let's talk a little bit more about the coaching that you're doing, because I do think that is extremely unique for most practices just in general. Yeah. I mean, how did you decide to even kind of go that coaching route, especially for the younger entrepreneurs? Because I feel like most don't like, that's a different skill set to be able to do that.
Yeah. You know, you know, when you're trying to find your calling in life, you know, you try to match it with what is something that the world needs, or where is there a need, and where could that need meet or match your passion? Yeah. And for me, it's hard for me to say I'm passionate about tax and accounting. I think what I'm passionate about is teaching and taking what I've learned and helping someone else. Because obviously that has been done for me. Have I seek these things out? Yes. But sometimes if someone wasn't open and willing enough to really provide that, some I've paid for, some I haven't. So, you know, one of the best things I've did was invest in a coach. You know, my business would not be here today if it wasn't for this one particular coach. And, you know, I'm no longer with the program, but if I had to do it again, I would. And I've paid a lot of money for it, you know, and it's the best investment I ever made in myself. And I said to myself, you know, someone said, so why are you doing this part, like your accent? Because people may not have that continuous. You're starting a business, so you really want to be conservative with your expenses. And they may not have that fee for that CFO services, which could range from $600 to $1,000, maybe even go up, if you're a bigger company, $5,000 a month. Yeah. And they may not be able to afford that right away. And I personally don't advise that you do. So I said, look, just invest in yourself. Whether it's $1,000 or $2,000, take that investment and you have access to me pretty much for life. So what I've designed is a 6 weeks program. Mm-hmm. I've also designed a one-on-one day. I'm doing a workshop to show people what it's really going to be like coming up soon. And, you know, the 6 weeks program is if you want to take step-by-step and really take it in, you know, you have all the materials forever. You're going to have access to me during the 6 weeks. You get to speak one-on-one every week, once a week. We put you in a group depending on how large your group is. So you can always ask each other questions. So now you have like-minded people with you, you know, so someone who's doing the exact same thing and really who have the same attitude. We're here to help each other because you do have friends who are entrepreneurs, but you're not sure if they're in the same page as you. So this is what the program does. And that's literally what I have. I'm really giving back what I've gotten in a smaller scale. I can never do as great as he has, but I really think that model is really good. So, you know, someone who really wants that transformation right now, like I want to take control of my numbers. I want to take control of my finances. I want to be able to say, yes, this month I grossed 10K. You know, a lot of people can't say that they run a business is because they don't know their numbers. You got to be one with the numbers. And that's what this course really is. This is what that coaching really is, too. So that's it in a nutshell. I'm trying to get a nice little name for it. I'm sticking with Coach Through. So that's the, you know, because I could coach you through pretty much anything that I've had a level of success in, anything that I think I've mastered on some small level, I could coach you through it. So that's what this financial and entrepreneur coaching is.
Man, that's awesome. I love it. And you're right. Your personality and what you're doing, like, I'll call myself out here. I don't get as excited about the numbers as my business partner. Like, that's his side of the deal. I mean, obviously I understand them, but like, I'm in front of the camera. I do a lot of the creative part of things and his end, he's on the other side of things, but I'm not going to lie. I'm like, oh, I'm excited too. What is this course? Like, this is good. You're right. Your personality, it's just infectious. It's like I feel like you have the ability to make even entrepreneurs that aren't always excited about the numbers, like excited about them.
You know what? There's this stigma about accounting that is so hard and it's not. I say this all the time too. There's nothing special about me. I don't have a dad that did accounting. I don't have a mom that, I do not come from a family of, you know, high level entrepreneurs. I'm from the islands and my dad worked in a bookstore. You know, I'm not even sure he finished high school. He worked in a bookstore for someone. His brother and his sister had some money. They pulled it together. He opened a bookstore in Grenada. He knew the business in and out. So in a nutshell, he was in control of his own job. I won't call him an entrepreneur per se in a true sense of the word, but he was his own boss. Mm-hmm. And I saw that around in my childhood. And people always have this thing that numbers are so hard to deal with. Mm. But I always say when you start in a business and you started from humble beginnings, you have to wear all the hats in that business. You got to be the salesperson. You got to be the accountant. You got to be the actual person who's doing the work, the marketing, and you have to know a little bit about everything because you're going to eventually source that out. So when it comes to accounting, all you got to do, what's coming in, what's coming out. It's simple math. It's really not that hard. And to go back to getting excited with the numbers, you know, what I do in this program is I ask yourself, what do you want to make this year out of your business? Mm-hmm. You tell me what that looks like. That is your number. Hey, Jesse, I want to make 200K. Okay, so 200K divided by 12, you know what it is for a month. What do you need to do in order to make that number per month? Do you need to get in front of people? How many people, the closing rate is but let's say 20%. We want to be conservative, say 50%. How many calls do I need to take so I can make my 50% closing rate? And that is how you calculate your sales. You know, a lot of people don't think about it like that. So you have to be intentional. I'm teaching you how to be intentional and very efficient in your time and how you go about your sales, because you can't just wish to make 200K. You got to implement stuff and you got to go after it, you know? So a part of program does that too. So how does your numbers really go hand in hand with your goals?
I love it. So Jesse, so what's next for JM Williams? I mean, what's on the top, what's on the horizon?
What's on the horizon for Jesse to just be a paid speaker? That is my dream job. I wish I could just go out, speak to the people, shake hands, kiss babies, and come home and review stuff. And that'd be that. But, you know, we are just going, I don't want to say going where the wind blows, but my job really is to solve problems for my client. Yeah. And recently in the past 2-3 years, especially with everyone starting a business during this pandemic, you know, everyone's starting an LLC. Yeah. So where I see I'm solving that problem is, okay, I started this LLC. Now what? I got to file taxes. So I tell people, you have an LLC, yes, but you really have a partnership. It's both of you. You're filing a partnership return. Oh, that's going to cost some money. This is not some little $200-$300 tax return. We're talking about $1,000, you know, and they look at me like I'm crazy. Like, yeah, this is serious, you know. Oh, I picked an S corp. Yeah, there's a lot of responsibility that comes with that. So that advice your friend gave you, they didn't give you the full story. So now you're stuck with this S corp and you have all this responsibility that you didn't know about. So these are things that I wish people would kind of get a little, you know, knowledge on before they start anything. So that's really the direction we're going in. Really just advisory, tax, and accounting, you know.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, Jesse, I'll tell you, it's been a pleasure having you on the show today. If somebody's watching this and they want to learn more about JM Williams and they want to learn more about maybe the CFO services or the accounting, the tax prep, I mean, all those different services you offer. And also, wait a minute, let me not forget the financial literacy courses you have in the 6-week program. I mean, you got a lot going on, put it that way. How do people connect with you and your team? How do they follow up? How do they stay connected?
Well, we obviously, our website is there, you know. So it's JM Williams. My full name, I'll tell everyone, is Jesse Mary Williams. So it's basically my initials, JM Williams, and the CPA, and that's the name of the company. You could find me that way through Facebook, Instagram, and I always tell people, get to know who you want to work with. And you can see a lot about me on my Instagram. You know, it is business and personal at the same time. You know, you get to learn a lot about me. I love to cook. I love to work out. And I like to do what I'm doing now. You know, I've been bitten by the podcast bug too, so that you might see a little bit of that on there as well. You know, so getting in touch with me is very easy. You know, the only thing is if you try to Google me, you'll get Jesse Williams as the actor, Grey's Anatomy. But if you just put the CPA at the end, you'll find me. So it's jmwilliamscpa.com is our website. JM Williams is our handle on Instagram and Facebook. And, you know, and that is pretty much how you get in touch with me.
Fantastic. Well, Jesse, really appreciate you again coming on the show. And to the audience, as always, thank you for tuning in. Hope you got a lot of value out of this. Hope you learned a lot. If you did, don't forget, hit that subscribe button. Definitely want you to be a return visitor and a return listener. And Jesse, thanks again for coming on the show. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. I appreciate it.